match. All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. As always, Mikey V, as always, Joey D, and myself, The Big Ticket. Guys, we sort of talked about the Super Bowl. We'll sort of go over it a little bit more today, and we will be doing an IG Live later in the week. Instead of a second episode this week, we're going to be doing an IG Live all about the Super Bowl, all about everything going on this coming weekend. So tune into that. It'll either be Friday, Saturday, sometime. We'll put out a story about it, but that is happening and you will see us then. But this is episode one here. We're going to run this one. And the first thing I want to get into with you guys is let's talk about some of these coaching moves. Mikey, I know you've been pretty public on your Instagram, on Twitter about this whole Cliff Kingsbury thing. What's going on? Are they trying to get Caleb Williams? Do they want the Bears pick? Why don't you walk me through that?
So anything, you got to remember, this is smoke season. So any team not in the Super Bowl at this point that's making coaching moves with high draft picks, or any team with top five draft picks, especially the number one overall pick, this is smoke season. And anything that the Bears media or anybody could get their hands on where they could say and drive up the price of that number one pick or create a higher demand market for it, they're going to do that. The Cliff Kingsbury hire by Washington is surprising because what you heard originally was that Kingsbury was going to Las Vegas to be the Raiders offensive coordinator. Now, today I found out that Kingsbury chose Washington over the Raiders, not necessarily because of their draft position, but because the Raiders were only offering him a 3-year deal and Washington gave him a 4-year deal. So for him, that's more job security. They probably a little bit more money, obviously, with the fourth year. And I think that the Caleb Williams story is this. Look, Caleb Williams is the number one overall prospect in this draft. I don't think that's really debatable. Some people will say Jaden Daniels, some will say Drake May. But I still think Caleb Williams, before this season, before some of those sideline incidents where he was crying and all the stuff that we've gone over ad nauseum, he was the consensus can't miss best quarterback prospect coming out since Andrew Luck. That's what people were saying. Trevor Lawrence, that level of a prospect. So I'm not buying that just because Cliff Kingsbury is in Washington, that Washington is going to do something irrational to get the number one pick, because I do think that the Bears, if the Bears like Caleb Williams, they're going to draft Caleb Williams. The only way they would not is if Washington or another team gives them an offer that's so ludicrous and outrageous that the janitor at Hallis Hall would laugh out loud if the other team actually accepted.
Like the Panthers did.
It would blow away the Panthers deal. It would have to blow away the Panthers deal. Now, Washington moving up from 2-1, it's not going to be to that magnitude because it's not that big of a jump. But if you're talking about a team in the 4-hole, 5-hole, 6-hole, 7-hole that wants to get that one pick, it is going to make the Carolina deal look like a bucket of balls in comparison. It'll be multiple years of first round picks. It'll involve a player. I mean, it will be ludicrous. But again, I'm going to go back to this. If the Bears and Ryan Poles believe that Caleb Williams is the guy, they're going to draft Caleb Williams. And all of this will just be a moot point by the time April 25th rolls around.
What do you think?
Up until then, it's going to be smoke season. I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams.
That's a shame, man.
They're still going to have to do their due diligence, obviously, on the other quarterbacks. But I just feel like at the end of the day, Caleb Williams, I would be surprised at this point. I'll say that if they didn't draft Caleb Williams, that would surprise me if they went a different route.
I wonder where Justin Fields would end up going.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a trade. So Fields, you know, is going to go somewhere. You know, you've heard talks about Atlanta, Pittsburgh. I mean, there's a bunch of potential landing spots for him. It's just a matter of what the compensation is going to be for Fields. Is it going to be a second rounder? I would love to see them get a first rounder for him, but knowing the way the NFL trade market works, I would be surprised. I'd be pleasantly surprised if they got a first rounder for Justin. Obviously, if they're going to go that route, but I think you're going to see Caleb Williams in Chicago. I think that's what's going to happen.
Wow.
Damn, man. That sucks.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, I love Justin Fields. Listen, you guys know I love Justin. I mean, he's my guy. He's been my guy forever. But Caleb, I mean, Justin, there were some things that just they never looked like they were improving. And I, you know, it's exciting to have the prospect of, you know, new blood in there. And maybe this kid really is, you know, everyone wants to give the Pat Mahomes comparisons. He doesn't have to be Pat Mahomes, but if he's half of Pat Mahomes, I mean, that would be pretty damn good for the Bears.
But were you one of these guys who was thinking that, like, Caleb, his draft stock had fallen? He wasn't the same guy we thought he was. Weren't you sort of on that boat somewhere in the middle of the USC season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, USC season went off the rails really quickly once that Notre Dame game happened. And, you know, they lost to Washington. And
Lincoln Riley had no control of that team.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley is just, again, that's the guy that I really blew up on. If you remember that one episode, I went crazy. Not crazy because of I think he's that bad of a coach. I went crazy because of what USC did to get him there. Like the deal they gave him to me was just so ludicrous for a guy who hadn't won a national title yet. I just would, if I was the USC athletic director and the president at the university, I would just have difficulty signing off on something like that. But they did, and they got him. The defense is atrocious every single year. It's atrocious. The offensive line didn't do a good job this year. He didn't have Jordan Addison this year. So, you know, it was not a great year for him in comparison to 2022, which was a spectacular year. But the bottom line is this. The kid's still in his career at USC, 72 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions. He makes some plays that are just absolutely out of this world phenomenal. Yeah. And from what his teammates say and from what I've heard, they you know, pump him up a little bit, and you know, allegedly he does all the right things according to the teammates. So
he seems a little soft, Mikey.
I don't disagree, Joe.
Of the nails, the crying on the sidelines.
Joe, I don't.
He's
disagree.
Kind of like, I don't know if he's built tough. I will say it's not often that you have an opportunity to have the number one prospect on the board. And a guy that's as hyped up as a quarterback, which is the top position you could have in the NFL, that just doesn't happen every
day. The bottom line to that point, Joe, is this. The Bears, you got to remember, they passed on the number one overall pick already once. And that was a rare spot to be in.
That was now the right play, though.
It was, but now they're in that. Well, not if you drafted C.J. Stroud, it wouldn't have been, you know, C.J. But hindsight is 20/20. Forget all
they
that.
Would have got Bryce Young, is what.
But
they
how
done.
Often are you in a position where you're drafting number one overall back to back years? Are you really gonna again say no? Nope, we're gonna punt that number one pick again. That's
you
a
think
tough
even,
spot for a young GM to be in.
Even if Washington does give up the house, you think they'll still probably pass up on it?
No, that's so again, I think that if some team just goes nuts and just throws the farm at them, let's say Washington says, we'll give you Daron Payne, we'll give you Terry McLaurin, and we'll give you this year's first, this year's second, next year's first, next year's second. You have to take that deal. You almost have to take that deal because then you're picking second. You could take Drake May, you could take Jaden Daniels. You got Daron Payne, you got McLaurin or guys of that quality. And then you still have two more firsts that you're going to pick in the first round two times the next 2 years. I mean that, and you get back that second round pick this year that you gave up for Montez Sweat. I think that'll be an absolute inclusion. The Bears will want that second round pick they gave to Washington for Sweat back. Which would really, I mean, then you get Montez Sweat basically for free, which would really be wild. But I think Ticket, what you're asking, I think they would have to get blown away. I think they'd have to get blown away if they really like him. And I think they do. I think they do. But again, a lot has got to happen before that draft. Pro days, combine, the meetings, the medicals, all that shit. That's all still got to happen. So you never know. You never know. It's going to be crazy. The next month and a half are going to be insane.
I just can't imagine what's going to be left in Washington if they give that away. They already gave away so much of their team. They would be Caleb Williams, and that would be it. That would be the whole team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I find it.
They might give a guy like Curtis Samuel or Brian Robinson. They got a couple pieces. I mean, but to your point, Terry McLaurin,
the Bears ain't going to want Brian Robinson. They're going to want the top. They're going to want their top players, I would think.
Scary Terry. That's who you'd want.
Gary Terry's a great guy.
Also, the one last thing about Clee is
guy
about
bang me in playoffs.
is with Cliff Kingsbury. It's so interesting when these coaches, they get laughed out of an organization. They take 1 year off to go do something else. Then they all of a sudden become this hot young coach again. And it's like, How was Kliff 2 years ago being laughed out of the Cardinals organization for fucking them?
Yeah, because a head coach is a lot different than an offensive coordinator. I think guys can play good roles. So not everybody can play the head coach. It's a much different responsibility.
Yeah, I
you're overseeing the entire team, everything.
Yeah. I just don't know where Kliff's head was at, right? You know, in when he was in Arizona, like I don't know, he was just like a playboy out there. Kind
he was like dating that Instagram.
Yeah, model, yeah. Like he was like... just. I mean, again, you know, it's just, you know, not a lot of guys are just going to be bunkered down football nerds that are young like that. Not a lot of them. Like it's rare to find somebody like that. So, you know, it's, and to tick it to your point, that could be like a Vrabel this year. That's kind of what I said about Vrabel. I was like, I could kind of see Vrabel taking the year off and then forget it. Next year, when the vacancies happen, he'll be the number one guy by far to go target. Because people will forget about that he had a little bit of a rough season this year. They'll just remember, well, this is the guy who brought the Titans to the AFC Championship game. This is a guy who won playoff games as a head coach. With a team that really didn't have a great quarterback in Tannehill, you know. So that'll be interesting.
Remember when he did that live draft that 1 year from his house, and his house was so gaudy and massive and expensive. And he was just, he was doing the live when they would check in with him. They would did cut he? Back to his house. And he was just sitting on the world's largest couch with the world's largest windows. Looked like a clown. And that's who he ended up turning into be. And now look at him. Now he's...
Oh, stop. Vrabel's a clown now? You don't like Mike Vrabel?
No. Cliff, this is Kliff Kingsbury.
Oh, Kingsbury's a clown. No doubt about it.
And when he was drafting from his house like that. No, Vrabel's a great... I mean...
Now, listen, do I think Kingsbury in the right spot could probably run a really good offense? Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah,
but I also
unreal
think he's slightly
year and a half, 2 years with Arizona. He was very good.
I remember him at Texas Tech, how good he was as a quarterback. He used to light it the fuck up. I'm talking 500-yard games. Fun.
Wow.
Fun
dude,
guy to
Texas
watch.
Tech gets some all-time quarterbacks.
The well, they
remember,
throw the ball 60 times a
Graham
game.
Graham Harrell? That guy was lighting the world up. I mean, that was some... Anyway, and now that Dan Quinn is officially in Washington, do you guys like the move? Do you think it's going to work out for Washington? What do you think, Joe?
I mean, I don't know. Who am I to say? I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a good job with Dallas with the defense, although they looked abysmal in the fucking playoffs against the Packers.
Sure did.
I think he's it's tough to say. I've never seen has he had a head coaching position before, Mikey?
Yeah, he was Atlanta's head coach.
Atlanta, that's right. Yeah. That's all
the 28-3 Super Bowl.
That's right.
That was Dan Quinn. I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. The Washington, the problem is when you have a team that's as bad as the Commanders, it's such a tough task to get that team, unify it, and bring it together. Now, I will say, in the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans did a very good job. He was a defensive-minded coach. And he's done wonders to that team.
They
so
struck gold at quarter. They struck gold.
I understand that. But look, the Commanders are going to get a top-tier quarterback.
True.
So I'm saying, I'm just using that as a metric scale that there is the Texans were trash the last year before this year. And you got a new head coach who's defensive-minded, defensive coordinator. You got a great quarterback. And suddenly they flourish. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Commanders, but I'm saying the same recipe is there. So I don't know. I don't know. I think time will tell. I'm not sure, man. There's a lot that needs to go into that Commanders team. It is a mess.
Yeah, I'm gonna just keep it brief on the Commanders because my who's a problem or is a Commanders related who's a problem. So, but Dan Quinn was a surprise hire for me. But this is again, you hate to see this. In my opinion, if you're a Commanders fan, this is like a panic hire. I really feel they wanted Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was going to be the coach there, but apparently Ben Johnson wants a lot of money. He wants a big bag, and whatever it was, it didn't work. And apparently he comes off a little shaky in the interviews, I guess maybe a little arrogant. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, they said that
he
he's
looks
not great...
really put together on the Lions sideline.
I'm sure he's put together, but maybe just you could be put together and you just talk like an asshole or you say something, rub somebody the wrong way. And apparently that was his interview was an issue, apparently, and he wanted a lot more than they were willing to give. So that was a shock to me. But I think Washington was dead set on Ben Johnson And Quinn to me feels like a panic hire. I just don't like the Quinn hire. You're going to bring a defensive guy into a team who gave away their defensive pieces. You're going to bring in a defensive guy for a team that has the worst offensive line in football. And today you separated yourselves from Eric Bieniemy, who's one of the most respected offensive coordinators in the game. It was better than Matt Nagy as soon as he left the Chiefs. Chiefs offense started sputtering a little bit. So I don't know. The Quinn hire to me just seems like a panic hire because you didn't get your number one choice, and then you kind of panicked. It reminds me of the Bears draft when they wanted to draft Amari Cooper. Cooper got drafted right in front of them by the Raiders, and then they went with Kevin White. It was such a panic pick. It was so obviously a panic pick. Like, you can't do that.
West Virginia product.
Yes, if I'm a Commander fan right now, I'm concerned. I am, because Quinn, he blew the fucking lock of the year Super Bowl 28-3. And that's not the only indictment on him. I mean, there are several other ones. Will the defense improve? Likely. But I think the offense, really, that line is just so bad. They got to get the offense figured out first over there, especially in today's NFL.
Oh, they just need a quarterback. They need a quarterback really
bad. He was in a bad spot, though.
I didn't hate Sam Howell. He was in a bad spot.
Worst O-line in football. He was getting killed every game, but yeah, I mean, he turned the ball over a lot. He did, but
he was running for his life.
He was.
I mean, the guy no time to do a single thing.
Worst O-line in football. I mean, you still got Charles Leno playing left tackle for you. That's a problem. Okay. Because Charles Leno was the Bears left tackle like 10 years ago. That's a problem. He was a 7th round pick for the Bears to play left tackle 10 years ago. He was serviceable with Chicago, but I mean, this guy, there's no way this guy could still be playing in the NFL as a starter. No, not at left tackle. Crazy.
And he's just going to end up being a classic case now of he's got a stink on him and he's probably not going to get a starting job unless he gets lucky with someone ahead of him getting an injury for a while. He could end up being one of these backup guys and you never really got to see what he was made of.
Well, maybe they bring his buddy Drake May, and they were both just at the Tar Heels Duke game on Saturday.
Sure. So, maybe they bring old Mitch in, too. Just make it a whole
Mitch
UNC.
Trifecta. Like, bring all
Biscuit
the Tar
can
Heels
throw
in.
The ball a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, God.
Guy stinks on ice.
Guy sucks, dude.
Maserati Mitch.
All right, folks, we briefly interrupt this podcast to let you know that The Sportsman is proudly sponsored by our friends over at Manscaped. Manscaped's been doing it for a long time. They're going to have everything and more you need to be playoff ready. If you're rocking a playoff beard like myself for the Super Bowl and you need the proper necessities to keep that thing looking fresh and clean, go to Manscaped right now, manscaped.com. They've got the Beard Hedger Pro Kit available right now. It is going to leave your face looking clean as a whistle and ready for game time. Do so and enter our promo code SPORTSMANPOD20 and receive 20% off your product along with free shipping. So as for always, it was always Manscaped. It always will be Manscaped. And we hope that you enjoy your product. Now back to our podcast.
All right, guys, let's move over to the Pro Bowl. I'm just fascinated by this thing. I'm just fascinated with how uninteresting it is. They bring in the Mannings. They try to make we're moving away from Hawaii. We're going to make it more like fun skills type of thing. Am I alone on that? Or Mikey, what do you make of this Pro Bowl? Do you even watch it?
No, not really. I'll watch like bits and pieces of like the highlight stuff. It's not a game anymore. I don't even know if you can bet. It's a flag game.
I'm sure you can.
That year that we took the first quarter,
that was
over,
awesome.
Joe, I think that was the last year it was in full pads or like half. They're playing in baseball caps.
Yeah, they are.
And flag,
shorts.
It's flag football. Which, you know what?
I didn't even watch a second of it. It goes to show.
Tick, honestly, I don't mind it because I have to be totally honest. I'm not footballed out at this point. I'm not. But, like, I've recognized that the season has come to a close, and, like, I just don't need some kind of novelty game to fill the void for me, and that's exactly what it is. I tell you what, though. The quarterback skills competition is kind of cool to watch where they're trying to hit the targets with the ball. Tua fucking stinks, man. This guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
He's awful.
I have never seen anything like it, and that's supposed to be his strong point is his accuracy.
Well, this he just used the ball up and prays that Tyreek Hill.
I mean,
will run
CJ Stroud showed out. They got Dan Orlovsky. He did better than any of the active guys, which is insane. I mean, Tua, really, man. You talk about a guy who is on life support right now. Tua Tagovailoa is on life support.
That was
and they're
be
talking
my
about signing. They're talking about signing him to a massive extension.
Oh, I know. He was going to be my problem.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Yeah, I'm sorry to do that.
No, okay. It's okay. I mean, he's just such an obvious pick. If you watched any of the highlights of that thing, I felt bad for him.
Ticket, he missed it. He missed the tackling dummy like 2 feet in front of him. It was right in front of him.
Oh my God.
I know. And he walking into this past year, he was your guy. I'm not your guy, but you liked him a lot. I thought that
Miami and what did they do again? Miami, the beginning of the year, they look like they are just the most unstoppable rebel force on the face of the planet. And then it's just Tua, just like as the season goes on, like the year before it was because of injuries. I get it. But this year it was just like a complete collapse. It was just a collapse. And towards the end, it looked like he was not ready at all to be in the biggest of moments, which really doesn't make much sense because he played in all those big moments at Alabama. I don't get it. Maybe all those injuries have caught up to him, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Joe, do you give a shit about the Pro Bowl at all? Did you even watch?
I thought they were still playing a full game, so it goes to show how much I've watched.
That's true.
I just have no time for it, man. It's not something – I mean, I will say this. The NHL All-Star game this year was awesome.
It was awesome. It was so incredible.
But the NBA and the Pro Bowl, those two have stunk.
The NBA used to be one of the better ones. It was like
for a long time it's been gone.
No, I agree. It just goes to show how
the NBA skills competition used to be the best to watch with the slam dunk competition.
The slam dunk
contest,
the 3-point, that was the best.
It was so good. I don't know what they've done to that product, man. I really don't.
It's beyond.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah. Like, they're making so much money. It doesn't matter.
Like it is what it is.
It's crazy to me when I put on a game or if I walk into a restaurant and they've got the game on and I see still like the whole place packed with fans. I'm like, I can't find anybody who still likes
the NBA.
But when
the Sixers are in the playoffs, you'll get into it.
No, of course. But regular season, game 42 of the season, who's going to these games on a Wednesday? Oh, I agree. But the game has changed a lot. The whole sport has changed. The organization has changed a lot. I'm like, who's going to these fucking games, man? But anyway, let's shift gears here. Let's go to golf. This guy used to be a phenom, man. Anthony Kim then just fell off the face of the earth. Joe, any excitement for him possibly returning, whether it's LIV or PGA?
I think the allure with this guy is he just disappeared like into thin air. And there was a thing that, I think there was some kind of situation where if he didn't play for so long, he got paid out by the PGA Tour. I think it was like $10 million or something like that. But he put up the one of the top scores, one of the top rounds ever at Augusta at the Masters. Like this guy was, he was like the guy. Like he was an up and coming phenom. And then just to disappear off the face of the fucking world was wild. So I don't know how he will do in either. I think if he were to be smart, he'd go the LIV route. You play a team-based, kind of focus rather than, trying to make cuts and make money on that side, get a big payout for his name. His
personality is more befitting of LIV, right? I would say.
But I do think that, people are going, I think it's kind of like the hot commodity for the moment. And if he doesn't really do much, he'll just fall off the earth again. Like, I think he'll come out on the scene, like people will be interested and want to see how he's doing. And if he doesn't put together much, then, people are going to lose interest pretty quickly. So from a standpoint of a business, I would go to LIV and just take the guaranteed money if he's smart.
Sure.
That's my thoughts on it.
No, yeah, I mean, listen, he's been away from the game, 10 years? Right around 10 years, something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I agree with Joe. I think the play for him would be LIV, considering that, one of the biggest draws for him or, the allure around him was, his personality, and I think it would be more befitting for LIV. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, golf is doing so well right now as a game. Like, it's such a healthy, you know, product right now. I mean, I think this will just, of course, it'll be another little boost and infusion to it. But yeah, I think LIV would probably be something to look at.
12 years he was gone.
Yeah, I think golf as a whole is doing very well. I don't think the PGA is doing. I mean, they just had to accept a bunch of money from all different kinds of groups there. And so I'm not sure.
I just think the game of golf itself.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's never been bigger.
It's never been better on YouTube, man. I'll tell you that.
Maybe you should come to Bob to Sports.
Yeah, maybe you should. I tell you what, the only thing, there's a couple things, I guess, but the only big thing that makes LIV unwatchable to me, I maybe it's fun if you're there. When I throw it on, listening to the music in the background.
The music's tough, yeah.
It's so off-putting. It makes that.
But if you watch the last tournament that Joaquin Niemann won, at night, it was like that was. I didn't watch it. I saw highlights, and it was awesome. Like was Rahm was up there, and the purses that these guys are making, man. Joaquin Niemann made $4 million for that tournament win. $4 million. I think Rahm was third, and he made like $1.1 million. Imagine that.
Yeah, Rahm's doing well for himself.
Koepka was like tied for fifth and made like 700.
Rahm never has to win another tournament his entire life. He's fine.
No.
He never has to win another tournament ever.
He's just got to show up.
He just made.
Right. He's That's show right, up. Ticket. That's right. And you know what? That's an interesting thing is like, is the quality going to fall off with any of those top guys due to the ludicrous?
It hasn't so far.
What's the motivating factor at that?
Well, I
love
them
playing the game, but, and maybe they love it more because they don't have to play as much. So
well, that's part of it. But I also think, Mikey, part of it is these guys have something to prove. And there's a reason why how many major winners came from LIV last year. And now you add fucking
Koepka, Rahm. Yep. Yep.
Oh, dude, it's unbelievable. Cam Smith won a tournament the year before. Like, he won the British Open. So, like, a lot of these guys, they have, like, just, I don't know, maybe they have, like, a fuck it, I'm going to show that I still matter and that I'm still relevant. Phil Mickelson.
Fucking he had a hell of a Masters last year.
I mean,
year.
What are we talking about? Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, they were all at the top of the fucking tournament. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, I think that when they sign with LIV, a lot of people doubt that they can still be Rahm. Nobody doubts. I think Rahm everybody knows that he, but I think he will still show up to the major tournaments this year. And he will be a driving force. Like, he is going to want to win everything. Cause think about it. Then you're double dipping. You're making as much money as you could possibly make. If you're winning a major and then you're still with LIV, I mean, you're having your cake and you're eating it too.
Yeah. Yep. The money's it's hard to understand. I mean, I guess you know where it comes from, but it when they keep pumping out these contracts, the guys, I don't know how they're making money back, I guess, is a bigger question for me. I don't know where it's coming from. It can't all be coming from the CW TV deal. It just can't. All right, guys, let's move on here to one more story before we get to who's a problem. Not a big one. I'm not sure anyone gives a shit. I don't really, but I'm interested in your take on it. Le'Veon Bell wants to make a comeback. He kind of already did a few years ago, and he sucked with the Jets. I'm not sure how much of an impact he's going to make now, but give me your thoughts, Mikey.
Non-story. He only wants to come back if he could play for the Steelers. It's a non-story. I mean, football is not like baseball. I don't even know. Yeah, baseball, golf. You know, where you could just take time off like that and come back into a league and start running and getting hit by guys like that who are, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years younger than you at the peak of their athleticism. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time.
Didn't he box wants to grab recently a couple too? Headlines.
Yeah, he
did.
Yeah, he did.
His ass kicked.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Who kicked his ass? Somebody kicked his ass.
He got destroyed. I forgot who it
was. I don't remember who it was, but I remember him.
It wasn't Jake Paul, though. I would remember that. It was not Jake Paul.
No, you'd be all over
I
got to
look this up. Le'Veon Bell, somebody kicked his ass, I remember.
Yeah. He got waxed. I don't remember. He got put down in like the first round.
He fought Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
was it AP?
But that wasn't the one that he got his ass kicked on.
I don't think so.
JMX.
JMX. Okay. JMX.
Yeah. Fucking crushed him. And it was.
Only Nate Robinson got nailed more than fucking Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, my God. Nate Robinson.
Jeez. Talk about a guy who should have stayed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the worst. the worst. Oh. I don't know what a guy like Nate Robinson, what is he, like 5'8"? Like,
yeah,
what
is he's thinking about? I think yeah. that's. Is he even 5'10"?
I don't think he is.
And he used to slam the ball with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember the dunk. He was in the dunk contest.
Yeah, I think he might have won.
And then he got dunked by Jake Paul.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a great, what a great fight to hang your hat on, Jake Paul, beating up Nate Robinson.
It was a hell of a
So you still got a real beef with this guy, huh?
It's only a one-way beef, so I'll just keep it going as long as
Sure.
The day if Jake Paul knows who Mikey is, then he's done something right.
That's right.
That's true.
Maybe he'll be at the waist.
If he asked you to come on his podcast, he's got one, right?
Avery works for Jake Paul.
For Better. Yeah, Avery works for Better. This guy that he used to work for Barstool, and then he worked with us briefly.
We could tell him about the beef you have.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, the beef's not going to do anything because, like, it's going to be like, well, there wouldn't be a beef, you know, because,
Mikey,
like,
if he paid you, like, $5 million to go fight him, and would you go just to get your ass kicked?
Joe, he could pay me $100,000, I would go fight him.
Really? Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it for $100,000.
I mean, here's the deal. I would have to be given 12 months to train. Seriously train. I would have to train seriously.
What if he gave you 7 months? What if he gave you 7 months?
Yeah, I'll do 7 months. 7 months, so we got to go up to $500,000, though.
So if he gave you less time, you need more. So for $5 million, you'll do it tomorrow.
$5 million, I'll do it tonight.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mikey's already been to the hospital.
By the way, I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm sure he beat me. I don't know if he's gonna kick my ass.
He's an absolute beast.
Yeah, fuck him.
He's just been training, and you have.
Respectfully, I like Jake.
It's Logan you got a problem with.
No, it's Jake. Logan's another one though. WWE. I sold it on Brilliantly Dumb Show. It's a disaster.
Yeah, that guy is a clown, man.
Logan or Jake?
Logan.
Yeah.
Logan's a bit. Yeah, you ever watch his podcast?
I would never subject myself to that. And I want to know why you, a man of your caliber, intellect, and respectability, would subject yourself to that.
I only watch when he has a guest on that I would be interested in listening to.
Okay,
I don't tune in to whichever one his is called. I forget even what it's called. All right, guys, let's move on here. Let me briefly ask you, has any of your thoughts changed about the Super Bowl? Do you want to go over that at all? Do you want to talk about anything that's changed, or do we just want to move on to who's a problem?
You know what? You know what's bizarre is this whole thing with the field now today. Have you seen this? How the Chiefs are able to practice in the actual building, mm-hmm. you know, the actual field, and the Niners are practicing at UNLV's college football field, and they said the field is in shambles, like it feels like you're running on a sponge. Like the field mm-hmm. is not up, and the NFL said, "Well, too bad." And the Chiefs won't share the Raiders stadium with them, and they're just stuck with it. And that's that. The team should be able to practice on the same field, man. Like not at the same time, but split the day in half. That's fucking nonsense. That's nonsense, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. How much more of an edge can the NFL give the fucking Chiefs?
They want the Chiefs to win.
I know they do. And that's why, back to tickets question, my mind has not changed. I can't pick against the Chiefs after I saw Josh Allen at Josh Allen's best all year at home lose to them and then watch the league MVP and the best defense in football at home lose to them.
He was in
I
shambles.
Can't do that with a team that should have lost two games in the Niners, should have lost to Green Bay, should have lost to Detroit. I just, in all good conscience, I can't. Could the Niners beat him? Of course, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, they're a loaded roster, but I'm not going to invest in the San Francisco 49ers. I just can't. Maybe a couple prop bets, but
sure. All right, guys, then let's just move on to who's a problem. Joey D, who is your problem this week?
It's going to stem right to the Super Bowl. And it's going to be not somebody playing, but somebody connected. Patrick Mahomes Sr. is an absolute problem. And you want to talk about maybe something that could be affecting Patrick Mahomes. When your dad gets a third DUI and
jail for 10 years,
he could be facing legitimate jail time. This happens a week before the Super Bowl. I mean, what if you're his dad, what in God's name are you thinking that, you know, your son is about, he's about to, in many ways, like cement himself as one of the best quarterbacks who has ever played this game. And even if he wins the Super Bowl, he gets put in the same sentence as Tom Brady,
and
for God's sakes, and Joe Montana. And you selfishly go out and fucking drive drunk and get a DUI and all this fucking negative press and shit. And now your son, this poor guy, not only does he have to deal with this, but with Brittany Mahomes, with Jackson Mahomes. You imagine you remove all of these distractions.
That might be why this he guy drank. Might he might have watched one of Jackson's TikToks.
Yeah. This guy would be, this guy would have six Super Bowls already, Mikey. Could you imagine? This guy is like, he's like the modern day Superman. He's just doing everything.
He does. I will say this. I will say this. Patrick
he
Mahomes
had
really
one bad outtake where he lost his shit, yep. But his team was a mess. He was trying to hold it together. And you know what? He manned up and he went and he apologized for what he did. And he took onus on it the next week. But like, this guy has done no wrong. And he has had like, really like a lot of distractions at every turn. I mean, I can't think of a dumber situation if you're part
wasn't
of,
this his dad's third DWI?
Yes. Yeah, he might be facing 10 years in prison.
It's a 4 to 10 year prison sentence. Unless something goes.
Don't you think
goes,
since
and
he
now
knows
he can't
Mahomes,
go to the game.
Well, I they may want to make an example out of him. You know what I mean? Because you know
he can't go to the game now.
A billionaire, close to a billionaire. I think he is going to the game, believe it or not, because it was a $10,000 bond that he was being held on. Which
why wouldn't he be
Mahomes.
Able to go to the game?
So I think he is going to. He's not going to go to trial. He's not going to go to trial for that for quite some time.
Yeah.
So I think he will be at the game. My thing is, if you're Patrick Mahomes Sr. and your son is Patrick Mahomes, the guy who's worth at minimum $500 million at minimum. He's really liquid money because of all the endorsement deals and all that shit.
Yeah.
Why? I would never drive a car ever again. Never. I'd be like, you're going to get me a driver. That's what I would tell. If Dom was a billionaire, I'd be like, Dom, you're going to get me a driver. Like, I'm not driving. You want me to drive? I'm not going to drive.
You think that he treats his dad that way? Like, some guys get money and they don't spread it around.
No, him and his dad.
If I was a billionaire, my father would be living on fucking, I don't know. He'd be living on the Amalfi Coast in a fucking mansion.
Him and his dad are close. When I was in Tahoe, he was at the casino at the High Limit Room with his dad, chopping it up there. Like, they get along well. There's no question about it. But, like, my God, that's a problem, man. That is a real...
Yeah, that's a problem for sure.
So some guys like to get drunk and go fast, man. And that's just a personality trait out there. Some guys like
to talk to the guy from the Raiders. What's his name?
Oh, Henry Ruggs III. He's getting out soon, but
Are you kidding me?
He's up for being able to get out this year. It's his first year of eligibility.
He's on the good behavior program.
Do you think that even if he got out, something like that, he would be welcomed back into the NFL?
I think
like,
he could get back into the league. I just don't think he'd be able to play. Again, I you're too far removed from the league, dog. Like, I just don't think that it will work for you.
Enough where it could, like Le'Veon Bell.
I suppose, but how many years has he been out now? Three or four?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think this will be his third year coming
out. Yeah, like that's a lot. That's a lot of time away from the game. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he might be taking some hits in prison, man. Who knows? He might be staying warm.
He might be like Red from Shawshank.
What's this?
He might be like Red from Shawshank Redemption. Like, you know, putting in his time. And then you just keep seeing the rejected.
Rejected on the parole.
The parole just rejected.
Yeah. Great. If you need cigarettes, he's got you. If you need a poster, he's got you.
Hey, you need a couple chess pieces. You know who to talk to.
Great movie.
All right, Mikey, who's your problem this week?
Well, I said it was going to be from the Commanders. Eric Bieniemy is a problem for me, and I don't know if it's a good or a bad problem. But
he's great.
Something is very wrong with what's going on with Eric Bieniemy. I thought that Eric Bieniemy was why did Washington bring Eric Bieniemy in to be the assistant head coach and the offensive coordinator to be in the exact spot where they thought and anticipated they would be in? Not firing Ron Rivera during the season out of respect and having the mutual agreement to separate at the end of the season, transition Bieniemy right into that head coaching position. Something is wrong with Eric Bieniemy. Something is inherently wrong. He is constantly one of the hottest names every single year, Eric Bieniemy for head coaching vacancies every single year. He's won Super Bowls. He's coached the best offenses in the league when he was in Kansas City.
He also had Mahomes.
He was under Andy Reid's coaching tree. I understand that. But this year, you know, the Commanders scored at times. They scored a lot of points with a horrible fucking team. Something's off with this guy. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's how he interviews. I don't know if it's how he comes off against people. But now he's completely out in Washington. He's not even retained.
Yeah,
he's
that's gone crazy.
Completely after a lateral move, which is really unheard of for a guy of his caliber to do a lateral move to the same position. Just something is so off with him. So that's a problem for me. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where he's going to land next, but Eric Bieniemy, I can't figure out for the life of me what the fuck is going on with Eric Bieniemy.
You should wait till Vrabel gets a head coaching job and go with Vrabel.
Sure. I mean, listen, I would take Bieniemy on the Bears, man. I think he's a good offensive guy. I do. I think, and you know what? Like Ticket said, Howell, you know, I don't think Howell was that bad either, all things considered. And Bieniemy did not change. He kept pedal to the metal. He didn't give a shit that the guy was getting sacked 30 times a game. Keep throwing the ball. I mean, you know what? You got to a degree, you got to respect that. You got to not like fucking Luke Getsy, who fucking is calling three screen passes in a row inside his own 5-yard line. Good luck with him, Raiders. But no, that's my problem for the week is Bieniemy, because I just can't put my finger on what's wrong with this guy. That teams just don't want him.
Do you think it could be that a lot of head coaches feel threatened by him because he is always so hot, and that this guy could be coming after my job?
I guess I really thought, Ticket, I swear to God, like I would have put money on Bieniemy being the next Commanders head coach. I thought it was a no-brainer. I thought that's why they hired him to begin with. It made so much sense.
Sure.
Go under Rivera as the assistant.
Would have made more sense than Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I would rather go with Bieniemy than Quinn. I know who Dan Quinn is as a head coach. I don't know what Eric Bieniemy is capable of as a head coach, but something's got to be off with the guy. He's got to be rubbing people the wrong way. Something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. My problem this week is Tom Brady. I recently stumbled upon a podcast called the Let's Go podcast. I don't know how long it's been around.
Is it his?
It's his. It's him, Larry Fitz, and some like a prestigious writer.
That sounds awful.
And yeah, but my thing is that he has people on his head like Andy Reid on. He's had a bunch of people in the league on to talk about their experiences. But what Tom Brady does week in and week out on this show, the Let's Go podcast, he tells stories about himself. I didn't learn much about Andy Reid. I just learned further more about Tom Brady, and I'm sick of hearing about it. And if this is what you can expect from him in the booth, finding ways to make it about him, I'm completely uninterested in this guy. I mean, I was shocked at the level of, it was just all about him. He would tell a story that would begin about Andy Reid, but then really you'd find out midway through the story, oh, this is coming back to him again. We're going to talk about Tom some more. And I couldn't stomach it. I listened to two episodes. I'm out on the show.
Can't stand not having a spotlight on him, Tick.
I guess maybe he's having a tough time with that transition. I was just shocked that I wasn't learning anything about anyone else other than more about Tom Brady in that show.
I've been saying this for a while. It's good to hear the world's finally catching on.
Joe just hates
just that
Tom
you think
Brady,
he's a selfish guy, or
I just think he's so used to, like, when you're that good, your tires are getting pumped 100% of the time, and you're getting your ass kissed early and often. It's got to be a good feeling. But then to go from that to then all of a sudden you just drop out of the realm of his world. It's got to be very difficult, because all of a sudden the focus is no longer on you. Like, you're not no longer the center of attention. It's like a kid, for example, who, you know, a family has a kid, he's like the golden child, and like everybody loves him, and all of a sudden like there's another baby, and that kid isn't getting the attention that he used to get. He's going to start acting out a little bit so that he gets the eyes back on him. That's, you know, Tom Brady.
You know what's going to be fascinating, if when Brady's in the booth, to hear him call a big Patrick Mahomes Chiefs game, to hear him call that and hear how he talks about Mahomes in a big game like that. Like, hopefully we get Brady in a playoff booth for Mahomes. And then, like, what if the co-announcer's like, you know, this guy, really putting himself in contention is maybe the great. Like, that's going to be very interesting to see how Brady is going to talk about
good Mahomes. With Josh Allen at the Pro Am.
Yeah, well, Allen hasn't won any fucking Super Bowls yet, so Brady's doesn't feel threatened by Josh Allen at all.
You also see that drive. You see that drive he took where it went like 2 yards.
Yeah, that was great. And then he had to, of course, quote tweet it and say, "Well, it was a driver off the rack." You know what I mean? Like,
is that what he said?
Yeah,
is that what he said?
He did.
Meanwhile, this guy's got fake hole in ones.
Yeah, just go out there and be like me, why don't you? And just say, listen, I fucking suck, man. It is what it is. It is what it is. Golf's the hardest game in the world.
Golf finally humbled him, and it was nice.
Golf will humble fucking anybody. Anybody.
Yeah, it sure will. It's the great equalizer, as they say. All right, let's get into some questions here. Let's do a few of these. Nathan LaManna wants to know, best Super Bowl snack meal. What's the best meal to order for Super Bowl Sunday?
Mikey,
Joe,
for me, I football in general, I just love wings. You know, wings to me are the football go-to. Like, yes, sandwiches, pizza, like I get all that, like your main meals, but to me, if you just gave me like, just a big plate of wings, like I could make do with that for the entire game. I really could. I could just sit there, give me a couple of varieties of sauces, and I'm good to go for the whole game. Of course, maybe a pitcher of suds on the side, but the wings to me are the go-to.
You know what I really like is a big platter of nachos with like that 7-layer dip. If you put that within my vicinity and there's not a lot of other people around, I will eat the entirety.
You just hit the nail on the head though, Joe. I feel like that's something like I don't want that to be involved with many other people though. I need that to be
I agree. It's a small gathering. Like, Ticket, when we would watch the games at my house, there's 3-4 guys, there's one table and a big platter of nachos with the queso, the guacamole, sour cream, the whole 9 yards. And it's just in the center and everybody's just going to town on it. But if you have like a lot of people, or like, you know how Holly had that spread where she put like everything off to the side? You can't just stand there next to the table eating the nachos. Like, you have to put some on your plate and then go back and sit down. So then it changes the experience. But if you give me a plate of nachos right in front of me, not too many people around, that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree with the nachos thing. I kind of need a nacho plate to be my own. Once I see a bunch of the way other people are handling chips, when they get their hands in there, maybe they went to the bathroom. I don't know what they did in there. They're digging
for that specific chip that's got the fucking jalapeno on it.
Mike, you remember me with the baseball game nachos?
Oh, I remember. Out of the helmet? Out of the baseball helmet? Yeah, I do. Ticket Those doesn't remember because I bought him a ticket.
He never gave.
That wasn't that one. Yes, it was. I saw the picture. Funny picture. Also, you know what I recently got into the last 2 or 3 years? I think one of our friends' girlfriends was making it. Buffalo chicken dip. You guys ever had this?
Holly makes that. I fucking love it. Oh, I love it. It's like crack.
That's a great football snack, Super Bowl snack, whatever you want. But I'll go with the wings too. While we're on the topic of wings, Jason Spivak wants to know, fuck, marry, kill, wing sauces. You got buffalo, garlic parm, and barbecue.
Oof.
It's a tough one. Joey D?
That's really tough, man.
Buffalo, garlic parm,
and barbecue.
And barbecue.
Oh, I'm killing barbecue. I'm killing barbecue on the wings. I like it, but I could do without. I will fuck with garlic parm. And I'm gonna marry the buffalo wing. It's just the OG, man. It's as good as it gets.
That's the play. I agree. You marry the buffalo, you fuck garlic parm, and then you kill barbecue. But I'm not gonna say that I don't love barbecue wings. Barbecue sauce wings are fucking incredible. Here's the thing: is like, barbecue could work on so many other things that you could still enjoy. You could kill it on the wings and still get away with it. You're not going to kill buffalo wings because nothing is as good as a buffalo. Like, you don't put buffalo sauce on something that's nearly as good as it is on a buffalo wing. Same with garlic parm. So that's why barbecue could go somewhere else. We're not eliminating barbecue and in its entirety, just the barbecue wing. So that's why barbecue has to be the kill shot.
Mary, I actually think it's pretty easy for me. That's that scenario.
Yeah,
If you put garlic parm, buffalo, or like a lemon pepper
or a teriyaki wing or something.
Teriyaki.
Becomes a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Or even those Korean rub ones. Those are fucking good.
What was the one? That's what I'm saying. Like those Thai ginger, like a Thai ginger wing.
Yeah.
Those what was things, the one that you used to get at your house, Joe? It was
mango
like,
habanero.
Mango habanero.
Oh, yep, no. That's a guilty pleasure.
Yes. You want to see three grown men get really overexcited? Just fast forward to the wing sauce portion of this.
Sportsman. Now, Mike, are you a blue cheese or a ranch kind of guy?
I could do either.
Oh, really? They're interchangeable, yeah, but I think ranch is the best overall. Oh,
I'm a blue cheese guy. I can't even do the ranch.
With buffalo, I need blue cheese.
Nicole
with buffalo,
hates I need blue cheese. Yeah. So like I used to dabble with blue cheese, but Nicole hates it. Now ranch, I do fuck with it. Now what I'll do is the wings, like Wingstop, I'll do the big thing of ranch, and then I'll do a side little thing of blue cheese just for a little taster.
You're a bad man.
Treat yourself, Joe.
Oh, I can tell I have, Michael.
I agree with the fuck, marry, kill. You know what? I can't stand the barbecue wings where the sauce is slathered all over it. I can't do that. But if you like slow roast a barbecue chicken, a wing, that is some of the best wings you can have. But I assume it's the ones where it's just got the messy barbecue.
Yeah, I still like those, but that's the kill for me easily.
Yeah, I don't need that. Two more questions, quick ones. Kyle Risner wants to know, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
It's ridiculous.
No. Keep it moving.
That's not a sandwich. It's ridiculous, Kyle.
This guy was high when he asked that question.
And then last question we'll do here. John Osborne wants to know, you can pick any soda you want. What's your go-to soda? What are you doing?
Oh.
I listen on an everyday practical level, and I don't drink soda, but on an everyday practical level, if I'm out for like lunch or something and I could order a fountain soda, I'm doing Diet Coke with lemon. That's like my go-to play. I love Diet Coke with lemon.
That's classic.
Diet Coke lemon off the fountain to me is like is on ice is like sometimes it just fills a void that it's pretty inexplicable. But if I'm doing like a treat soda, I tell you what soda I really liked. Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
I love a good doctor or Mr. Pibb. Interchangeable there.
So you know, if I have a main like a ride or die soda, it's Coca-Cola.
Yes, it has to be.
If I have a side piece cola,
give
me orange. Give me orange an orange soda.
Soda. It's a great orange soda or orange Coke?
No, orange soda.
What do you go?
Orange Fanta, Crush.
Fanta
orange
Crush.
Crush.
Orange wow. Crush. And by the way, you know what else is really good? Which once in a while you should dabble in is Grape Crush. Is fucking
yeah, grape
really
soda's good.
And then actually, you know what? I'm changing it. It's not Orange Crush. If my side piece cola, it would be Cream Soda.
Yeah, cream soda's great. Good. Yeah.
Cream soda.
You love soda, don't you? I'm just learning this. I didn't know how much you love this.
Nothing
shit.
Better than a nice frothy root beer or birch beer.
Sure, a Barks root
beer. I've tried to cut down on soda because when you're trying to cut
soda's
weight,
the worst thing on the
soda
face.
Is the worst thing the that worst you can thing have.
And like, it's the easiest one to give up, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it?
I'd agree with that.
Diehard soda connoisseurs, like it's sure. like Jet not drinking a Diet Coke.
Yeah,
that would never happen, man.
But yeah. I'm giving up soda before I'm giving up like pizza, anything. Like I can give up soda very easily.
Yeah, because you could dabble with like a sweet tea or something instead.
Yeah, I have no problem with just water. Like a good water that'll get me through the entire day.
Yeah.
You know what's also crazy is grown men who drink milk. I find that to be very strange. Who pours themselves a full glass of milk after
Pick
the
it.
Age
when
of
when we did
16?
The milk challenge, I think that was the first time. No. Get down here. He's wet. He just had a bath, and he's trying to go on the couch.
This guy's a menace, man. This guy is an absolute...
Leave that dog alone, man.
No, he's trying. He's got this blanket here so that when he goes on the couch, his paws don't get all dirty. And he's trying to move the blanket down so he can just go run amok.
Leave that dog alone, man.
Oh,
you're
like a helicopter like parent with the dog. You're all over.
You treat this dog like royalty.
I know. I can tell. All right, guys. Well, let's get out of here. Joe will tend to his dog. I know Mikey's probably dying to get back to his family, and I'm gonna go back to this couch and being alone here.
Depressing on the exit.
No, it's not depressing. That is a great night for being alone by myself on a couch. Got a YouTube.
Good for you, Tick.
All right, guys. That's another good one. Less football. We're gonna be transitioning out of football here. But again, this coming weekend, we're going to be doing a live probably from the Sportsman account. We could change that up and it could be coming from one of you guys, or we can all share. It doesn't matter. But look out for that either Friday or Saturday. We're probably going to be running that. We're going to be talking the Super Bowl, getting excited for that. But until then, gentlemen, another great episode. That's Mikey V. That's Joey D. I'm the Big Ticket, and we will see everyone next week.